Hello, BB. I'm back. This is the intro for the San Carlos Computer Club from March 9th, 2021. I hope that's correct.
Me too.
Because you don't know.
BB and I just finished working on laundry and restringing a six-string guitar. What'd you think of that experience?
Difficult.
You found it difficult?
Yeah, but I got a broken string.
Now you have a broken string to play with.
Yeah.
Well, our guitar is back in service.
It still has the crazy hairs over there.
We'll have to get some wire cutters and cut the extra off. Unless you like the crazy hairs.
No, I don't.
Okay. This is your day without screens?
Yeah.
So you're...
No, it's not a day without screens.
What is today?
I don't know. I think it's just some weird thing.
Consejo técnico?
Yeah, consejo técnico.
In service day.
What does that mean?
That means the teachers are doing work, but you're not.
Sucks to be them.
Yeah. I imagine they feel that way every time they have to deal with you.
Oh!
Yeah! You want to do it with me? Ow!
And on that note... This is the San Carlos Computer Club from March 9th, 2021. My name is Scott Stimson, your host.
I'm Viviana Stimson, his daughter.
Being tortured weekly to help me with these introductions. Until next week, we must say tech on.
Tech on.
Rat something island in Western Australia. They're not afraid of people. So they'll sit there and people take selfies of themselves with them or close up of their expression.
That's Rat Nest Island, I think.
That's it. Yeah, Rat Nest.
Originally, it was Rat's Nest in Dutch. Over the years, it's changed. They thought they were rats. They're that size. Full grown. They're 2.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
They look really cute.
Have you seen them, actually?
Yes. I went to Rat Nest Island a couple times. And the joeys are real small. They're real cute.
So I lived in Australia for a year, but I never went to Rat Nest Island. Is this it right here?
Yes, that's it.
Rat Nest. I just remember an echidna scaring the hell out of me in the bush in Australia.
Oh, there we go. I was trying to get a feel for where right outside of Perth. I never moved around Australia very much. I stayed in northern central Victoria and went to college for a year.
If I remember correctly, it's 26 miles off of Perth.
Yeah.
I made it to Perth, but not out onto the island. We took the bus from Melbourne across to Perth, across the Great Bight. We were young and going to save the cost.
You bused from Melbourne to Perth?
We thought we would, maybe it was Adelaide. Anyways, yeah, we bussed all over, but we were young and foolish, and we thought that sleeping on the bus would save us the money for the hostel, and my neck still feels it today, 30 years late, 40, 50, 50 years later.
But still, you must have had amazing experiences.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We spent 3 months. We landed in Sydney. We went up and around and saw some relatives and then out to Perth and back. And month of January was in Sydney, and it was a city that I actually enjoyed.
Didn't you have to push the bus to get it going one time?
Yeah, we had to push the bus somewhere in that Great Bight area there. I was holding everybody's cameras, taking pictures. But, it was quite the little experience. And interesting people that ride the bus, especially in the center there, down to Alice and up. I remember my bus days.
I think it's a general rule in the world that it's interesting people that ride buses.
Yeah, for better or for worse.
Yes.
They are always interesting.
And the people in the bus stop are always interesting, too.
Well, sometimes too interesting.
Yeah, buy a lot of things from them, probably.
We lived in this small community called Castlemaine for a year. My mother did a teacher exchange.
Your mother did a what?
A teacher exchange.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, and because it was such, because my parents are teachers, they decided it was too good of a life experience not to bring us together as a family and do it together as a family. So My sister and I were out of the house doing school at other universities, and we all came back together to live as a family and spend a year in Australia. And so I went to school in a college town right nearby, a college called La Trobe and Bendigo. That's it, right there. I was just trying to remember the right here. Gosh, it's funny when things get like 20 years, no, 30 years ago. 30 years ago.
You know you're getting old when you can't remember it can't be that many years ago.
Yeah. Well, mine was 84, 85 was the New Year's of 85 was when I was there. And we went to Bendigo. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
This is northern central Victoria. It's about a two-hour train ride from Melbourne.
Well, we took the bus, but we had gone to Ballarat. What was that historic...
We bought a car, and my sister and I would use the car to commute to Bendigo every morning for college classes. And we both got hooked up with boyfriends and girlfriends that lived in various parts. And I spent some time living in almost a commune in Bendigo, made up of art students. A historical house, a house that was just hundreds of years old. Had these tall, tall ceilings because of the heat, and had a history of being first, I think, a nunnery, and then I want to say a hospital, but it's not quite a hospital, and then an orphanage, and then it was just this white elephant property, and my girlfriend and a bunch of her friends came together to rent it. It was like six odd rooms in a big living area as well, and tall, tall ceilings, and it was just a bunch of college students, young people, not cleaning up, funny smells, you know, that kind of stuff. Brewing beer. Bunch of Australians and a gringo brewing beer in some old orphanage that was being used for college houses. There's a band, a room had... it was all set up with instruments. Gosh, all these memories are flooding back at this time in Australia. Haven't thought about it in a long time. But there in Bendigo, we lived there in Bendigo, or Castlemaine in Bendigo. In Castlemaine, it was a hobby farm. We did a house exchange. When you do a teacher exchange, you exchange the houses as well.
I'm sure.
You are sharing.
This is Ballarat, is like a historic heritage place. Did you ever go to that?
I don't remember Ballarat, but then again, I just told you a half a dozen things I didn't remember until a second ago.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, my dad's cousins had a timeshare, and we spent New Year's Eve in a kind of
I'm looking at where it is from Melbourne. Boy, we might have made it over there. Yeah. It would have been a family trip. I did spend 9 days hiking a rainforest in Tasmania. My mom and I were campers from Alaska.
Yeah.
And she had an opportunity to do this. So the two of us went on this trek to Tasmania. Gosh, when she gets on, we should ask her what the name of the rainforest is. I just don't remember.
Well, Phillip Island is just south of Melbourne there. It's a little place of all the penguins and everything. And we went.
Oh, wow.
Evening of watching the penguins. But that was my first Christmas in the sun, I guess you'd say. we had Christmas Eve picnic on the beach, which was just so foreign to us. And then when on January 8th, which is my birthday, we were up at, kind of on a sheep station north of Ballarat or Bendigo. Anyways, I went water skiing, and I always told my friends that I'd always go skiing on my birthday, but usually it was downhill snow skiing. And that year I got to go and water ski upside down. I said, because I was on the other side of the world, you know? Yeah. Anyway, so that was January of 85. And my girlfriend that was traveling with me, my companion, her daughter went out on her trip 25 years later to the date. She traveled in the same place as we did. Kind of cool.
We were there in 90 to 91. I turned 21 in Australia, and they didn't appreciate it. In fact, I was considered a mature age student because I was in the beginning year of computer science. And so I was surrounded by people that were 17, 18, 19 years old. I was considered old enough to be like in the middle or ending college. And here I was at the beginning of it. And they didn't appreciate me turning 21 because everybody I was around had been drinking since they were 16.
Yeah.
So like it wasn't a big deal. I was old school.
We were called mom all the time because in the hostels, most people in the hostels are 18 to 20, 21, you know, kind of thing. And we were 27 and 28 at the time.
Yeah.
So we were older. And we would cook in the hostels, and these kids would look at us like we were freaking crazy. What are you doing? You know?
Yeah. Good time. I came to Mexico when I was 26, and I did the bus for many years, getting back and forth from here. I probably would still try it with a mask. Hey, did you guys see that with the CDC? They've lifted restrictions on people that are vaccinated in the United States.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not lifted restrictions. They've added new recommendations.
You can go hug your grandchildren.
That's right. That's what they're saying. If you're vaccinated and your grandchildren have no, they're not high risk of severe COVID, then you can feel comfortable to go hug your grandchildren.
You can gather in larger groups if everybody is vaccinated, or if everybody that is at risk is vaccinated and the other people are low risk. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
But in smaller groups.
But you have to paint a V on your forehead.
Scarlet letter.
That's right. Well, it is one step closer to having a vaccine. There's some database keeping.
You see my background now?
Yeah. Where are you on Nakapuli? Where are you?
No, one of the mountains behind Nakapuli, you know. I'm going to move and you can see Radha.
Oh, okay. This is his photo.
Yeah, he climbs all those mountains, you know, with his buddies, and they took a picture of him.
Yeah, he's not often in the pictures. He takes up pictures of other people up there, but yeah.
I can't tell if it's him or not.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I would actually recognize him, because I don't think I've seen many pictures.
Well, I went on his Facebook page and swiped a bunch of pictures.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I like how you entertain yourself because you've gone from Mexico to Australia this morning.
Yeah.
That's some real travel.
Yeah, I think I saw Greece in there for a minute too, but I don't think it was his picture.
Well, he's living vicariously through online.
I claim that's my house in San Carlos, but it isn't. It just says Mediterranean house by the ocean.
Oh, and the trailer is kind of fun. The Airstream.
Yeah.
But different ones this week.
What's that?
Well, the backgrounds, it seems, there's horses.
Yeah, there's
horses, and this is...
Come on. You guys are making me feel inadequate. My machine won't do backgrounds. Quit doing it.
Which machine are you on? Are you on the Linux machine or the Windows 10 machine?
No, I'm on the Windows machine. I tried the Linux machine, but I get some strange sounds coming out of it. I'll drop out of this one, go back to that one, and see if I can fix it. Then you can see my Linux machine picture. Then,
yeah. What's the sound? Is it speaker or is it noise?
It's feeding through my hearing aids and it crackles. But I'll see if I can get it to work here. I'll just disappear for a while. A lot of people have said that before, but I'll do it this time.
I don't know what this is. This is it's cassette tapes. It's cassette tapes. That's what it is. That's kind of cool. Fireworks are always fun. Before Billy comes back, it's Billy's birthday coming up on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. What's the sound you've got? Paul, who's behind you?
Oh, this is a picture of Radha's wife running away from me.
I think that's one of her maternity shots.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I just like the blur feature. And it's not using up very much, what do you call it?
Bandwidth.
Bandwidth. Because sometimes when I do that, it just really, everybody else disappears. Like Fred's just a brown circle with an F in it right now, but they'll come
back. That's how it looks. Yeah, I think we've all experienced that. Today, everything feels very stable. I mean, I don't know if you guys are feeling it as well, but you're all coming in very clear. There's no choppiness.
But where is it?
The audio is really good.
They changed their clocks a week early or something?
Well, we're not officially starting for another 9 minutes, but I'll hit the streaming button anyway because we're already gotten into conversation and topics so much that I'm almost afraid I'm going to fall asleep. Interesting. I was testing things earlier before you folks had gotten on. And I hit the go live button and it just showed all this footage from my testing before. I guess it was buffered in the YouTube app, the YouTube webpage. But good morning and welcome. And this is the San Carlos Computer Club, 8 minutes early. I'm Scott Stimson, ready to help you with any questions you might have and share any tech topics you may be interested in. Did you guys bring topics? No? That's okay.
Well, a couple of things that I watched, but and then some experiences with movie making.
Oh, good. That'll be interesting. I will send you the link to that video. That was the first time I'd seen that video. But the amount of features that are now available in Windows 10 Video Editor is amazing. It just blew me away. I learned a bunch of new stuff. When Windows 10 Video Editor had been first released, it was just a joke. I remember trying to use it for some things. Crop a little, cut off, trim a beginning, trim an end, trim something out of the middle, but very little features available. And following that guy's video and looking at the latest release of this, it's just beautiful. I think it's going to become one of my video editors.
But, okay, so I search for video editor in my Windows programs.
Yeah. You know,
and it comes up, but it takes forever to open, and it's very slow. And then, yeah, I don't know if it's my computer or if it's the video editor. And I don't know if I can upgrade. Like, it doesn't seem to be installed as an app. It's a very strange little program.
Now, let me start by saying that I'm on Windows 10 20H2 with all the latest updates, and this program is so different than just the previous release. And so, Cheryl, what I would say is make sure first what version of Windows you're at.
Okay, so
and then
how do I find that out?
You could find that out by, if you're following me on my display here, to find out what version your operating system is, click with the right mouse button on the Windows button in the corner and choose the option system. Yep. Morning, Chester. Morning, Judy. Good morning, Judy. We got started just a little early this morning.
When are you?
Good morning.
So this is the About page for Windows 10. And if you go down the About page until Windows specifications, it'll show you what version, what edition, and what version you're running. And 20H2 is the latest build of Windows 10 that's available. And this video editor has changed dramatically over the last few iterations. So I would, if you're interested in the things that he was showing off in his video, I would make sure I was up to the latest version of Windows. Oh, here comes Irving. But Cheryl, what really blew me away about it, and guys, we're talking about a tutorial video from June of 2020 that I stumbled across and Cheryl's seen before we were talking about it. And it was showing off the features of Video Editor that is included for free in Windows 10. That is a dramatic improvement on their original iteration of Video Editor that had very few features and a lot of problems. You can find Video Editor in Windows just by typing Video Editor in the search, and here's the app right here, Video Editor. But the truth is it's tied to the Windows Photo program. So you can use this icon to open it separately, but what you're in is the video editing version of the photos, the Microsoft Windows Photos program, if that makes sense.
Okay, Scott, if I may go back, I'm in the About section. Under Windows Specification, Edition Windows 10 Home, version 2004.
Okay, so you're just one iteration behind. So if you're comfortable with it, eventually it's going to install 20H2 on its own. If you wanted to push it, you could go into settings under updates and you would find an option to install the latest version under updates, under Windows updates. On this screen, mine says you're all up to date as of today at 7:30. But
where'd you find that?
Under updates, under settings, you go to the settings here, settings. Uh-huh. And then down at the bottom, one of the last ones in the English version is updates. You see they've got the curled arrows wrapped around each other.
Find a setting. About.
Let me turn this on. Have you caught up with me?
Well, no, because I don't seem to have anything that says Windows updates. Oh, there it is. Windows update. Mine is very slow. Today.
Okay, now below that, does it say in a box 20H2 is available?
It does.
Download and install.
Uh-huh.
So now at this point, you're making a decision to update your operating system. Now I know from my experience, 2004 to 20H2 is a breeze. However, it is a change in operating system. And so if your computer isn't healthy, I wouldn't recommend doing it. If you have concerns about whether your computer's healthy, I wouldn't do it. I'd make sure the computer is healthy first. I'd run an antivirus on it, a scan disk on it. I would know the history of the computer because I wouldn't update lightly. You're updating an operating system. However, my outside of being a good IT person, I've updated 2004 on a number of computers to 2004 to 20H2, and I'm nodding and waving at the camera like, can you see me? I don't even know if you can see me in this.
No.
I'm giving you all sorts of eye contact and hand gestures, and I don't think anybody's getting to see it. But I just take it with a grain of salt. My experience installing 2004 to 20H2 has been harmless and good. However, I always make sure a computer is healthy before I do any systems update. So I make sure it's virus free. I make sure it has no cooling problems. Make sure that the hard drive is working correctly. And you know what, Cheryl, an easy way to do that is a reliability checker.
Okay.
If you click on the Windows button, you can start typing the word reliability. One of the first things that'll come up is view reliability history. Hey guys, in typical club fashion, we are unorganized and without an agenda. And Cheryl and I were just talking about the video editor that was provided for free in Windows 10, the latest iteration, and how impressed I was with the features that were in it. We've had a couple of weeks back, we were talking about video editing software, and there's one that I've been subscribed to called VSDC that I'm very happy with, but it's very cumbersome to use. It's a learning curve like Photoshop to take advantage of all the features that are available. And I came across this video that's a tutorial from June of 2020 that outlines the features of the Windows 10 video editor. And I recommend the video. It is the features that are available are those perfect features that you might want to use to edit some video and not have to go find a video package. And so the video goes right through starting it up, how to find it in the system, and each one of the features available to you. So Cheryl and I were talking about this, and she was having a crummy experience running the video editor that came with Windows 10. And one of the things that we were doing was checking the version of Windows that she's running. And so we've done that. We've gone in under system, clicking on the right mouse button with the Windows button and choosing system, looking at the About page and verified that her Windows version at the moment is at 2004. And the latest version is 20H2. So the next step would be to see if her computer is available for updating that latest version. And so we've gone into settings, and we're looking under updates, and I'm going to turn present back on because we're still here, if it's going to work. And so under the update screen, you can see what your, if it's available. Under this check updates button, you're up to date. There may be a box, and that box is indicating that there's a newer version of Windows 10 available to you. And I was giving my regular warning that you would be updating. If you say you want to download and install, you can click. If you decide to do that, you are updating your Windows operating system. And updating your Windows operating system is not trivial. And so I would make sure your computer's healthy before you do that. Now, this will be pushed into the computer. Eventually, you will be updated to it. So if you don't have it, you're going to end up with it beyond your control because of the licensing agreement with Windows 10. But if you're going to do it for yourself, I always recommend making sure your system is healthy beforehand. So back to this video editor for a moment. This is very cool, the way it's laid out at the bottom here with storyboards for the timeline, assets up here in the photo library. In fact, I was working on a project. I saw Irving came on. I hope Irving doesn't take offense to this, but Irving was recorded by Rich when we were at the computer club. He did a little interview with Irving. And throughout the recording, Irving has been tapping the table. And so, hi, Irving. I hope I don't offend you with this, but you had done
that. Nothing to hide. Good morning. Just send me my royalties.
Okay. Well, Rich took this recording last year when we were meeting in person. And Irving's just gave this great interview. However, he's tapping the table throughout the interview. And so I've been going through it with Audacity.
We're rolling.
Oh, okay.
Well,
and I've been trying to minimize the tapping. And so what I've done is I've taken the video, Rich's video, and I've pulled it out and I put it into Audacity as an audio clip. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Audacity, but it's a program for editing audio. It's open source. Let me give you a little taste of the original here.
This is a wealth of information. In addition to that, Scott, who's the MC or the one that runs this, he's extremely bright and extremely knowledgeable. And
by the way, Irving's a very bright individual. I don't know if you guys know that or not.
Take hours of our time.
I'm very impressed with Irving.
And saves us all that time.
So did the audio come through? Could you hear the thumping there that was coming through on the table? Have you heard the thump? And so I pulled it out into Audacity, and this is the audio clip from Audacity from that video, and I've gone through it looking for that thump and minimizing the amplification on that thump. And unfortunately, this is not the best. It doesn't appear to be the best venue for giving you an example of this. But then I used the video editor and changed the audio by coming into custom audio and sticking my audio clip as the background sound. and then coming in here and turning off the audio of the clip I'm using. So I'm using the video from the original clip, but the audio that I modified. And then Video Editor is running it together as one clip. Just to give you one of the features that I was very impressed that I could pull this off using the free video editor provided by Windows 10.
You could become a fake news publisher.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, good morning, all. We started just a few minutes early because we were just talking about this kind of stuff. And I'll put a link to the tutorial. It's 30 minutes. And so if you've ever wanted to do a slideshow, if you've got Windows 10 and you've ever wanted to do a slideshow, or you've got little video clips you wanted to cut some stuff out of, you wanted to put music in the background, I recommend this tutorial. I learned a lot of stuff in 30 minutes that are completely for free in Windows 10.
Scott, in CyberLink Director Pro, you can modify the music and the sound similarly because they're on two different tracks. You have the video track and the soundtrack. And it's very easy, and I've done it many times, to modify the sound to fit the video.
Modify the sound to fit the video. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What was not here before, Chester, was as a free program, you didn't have any of those. You couldn't put audio over it. All you could do was some basics of truncating the size of a clip or taking something off the front or the back. But it didn't have – there are so many effects in this program now. There's so many transitions. And it's just a free tool. Tell me again the name of the tool you're using.
CyberLink. It's called Director Pro.
Director Pro, yeah. And you were talking about that. That's a pay-for program. And I was talking about VSDC.
Yeah.
Which is also a pay-for program. And both of them, very feature-rich, however, not very accessible. Heavy learning curves on both of them. You have to spend some real time. This is, you know what this is? This is really the Windows Movie Maker that we became accustomed to having in Windows during Windows 7. And even in Windows 8. It was about Windows 8 when they discontinued it. They had taken Movie Maker and they had moved it into their Live suite, and you had to download it from Windows Live. They were trying to turn it into a subscription thing. And then for Windows 10, they discontinued it altogether. And so all those features, those basic features, those 90% of the things that people need to do, that 10% of things that 90% of people need to do, is all here, and then they added a whole bunch of new features around it. So it lays out the same. I don't know. I think that's the reason I'm mentioning it is if you don't want to buy a video editing program, it's in your computer already.
I was surprised, Scott, because I thought that we had said that it was gone in Windows 10, and I was trying to download some other ones and tried the one, the VS, whatever one that we were talking about. I was in the process of downloading OpenShot because I'd seen a tutorial YouTube on it. And I found this video editor one, but I'm having a few quirky things with it. But I think you're right. I need to check out the health of my computer because my printer's disappeared. A few different little things are happening with my computer. So I'll check it out. For example, the video editor, I was trying to bring in audio of a piece of, well, it was a Sam Rainwater song that I own, and it's on my computer, but it would not recognize it as an audio file.
So, Cheryl, you were just presenting that. Are you able to look at that again? Because bringing audio in was very easy.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. Just a minute.
But again, it could be versioning that's the problem. You said it was really slow to start up, and it could be health, it could be version. I'm telling you, this program did not have these features when I was first made aware of it.
Right.
When it was first introduced, his Photos didn't have a video editing package to begin with, Microsoft Photos. And then it was big news when they got a video editor. But the video editor was just a turkey. It just didn't do anything.
Well, and this one, it's kind of different. This is a second project that I'm working on right now. But, you know, it's very easy to bring in things, you know, add. And you can add photos and videos. But background music, this was a really neat little feature. You choose one of their background
pre-made music. Songs. Yeah.
Yeah. And hit this thing, sync your video in the music's beat. And mm-hmm. it was really cool. And you can set the music video volume in the background, and then you sync your pictures to the music. And that worked really well on a different project I was working on. But
so
it was custom.
So are you having trouble adding audio to this, for example?
Yeah. This one, but if I go here, add audio to file. So under custom audio, add audio file. And then I go to my computer and I go to music.
Yeah, I'm very curious.
And Rainwater, no items match your search.
Are you sure it's in there?
Oh, yeah.
You've actually got your computer to show you any file that's in there.
It is in there, but it's when I go to this open within the.
Right, but can you go to a file explorer and just verify? Hey, click with the right mouse button.
Yeah, I can. Right on. You, I can show you that in that there is actually that. Here, I'll go to this one.
Because we can see from this explorer window that you've got it set to let you see all files that can mm-hmm. be added, not just audio files. Yeah, so anything that's in there, we should be able to see.
Okay, so here it is if I go to File Explorer, and there, all the music files are there, and they're MP3s format.
Cheryl, we can't see anything.
Can't see that?
We're still...
Oh, I'm showing the wrong window. Sorry. You are presenting... Oh, I guess I have to stop. Sorry. Anyways.
Or are you presenting your screen or a window?
That I was must presenting be a on. Window.
And yeah, that must be what it is.
I opened another one. I got to stop.
Just... Yeah, stop it and start it again so we can... I want to take a look at the files that are in there and the way they're being displayed, because that's really strange.
All right.
In fact, on mine, let me just go back over to the Irving project here.
Okay, these are MP3 format sounds. This is the same place I was in before, Sam Rainwater, and it's all MP3s. But the video editor program doesn't show.
And this is off of your E drive.
It's off of my.
It looked like you were looking at music from your E drive. I'm imagining it's an external drive. It's an A data drive.
Am I? I thought
that's
I
was what it looked like when you were presenting your.
No, it's my local.
Presenting file. Well, if you look at your file explorer, it looked like that was off of your. I mean, if I might be wrong, but I thought I was looking at it coming off of your E drive.
No. Okay, this PC.
Yes.
Music.
I can't see anything right now.
Oh, can't you?
No, you're not presenting anymore.
Well, it doesn't want to share my entire screen. Now am I?
Yep, it's starting. There we go. So yeah, look under File Explorer again. I'd like to take a look again. Okay, and
what can you see?
This PC. Music. Yeah, it must have been these words under here were obstructing my view, making me think it was on an external drive.
I thought it was on an external drive, too, because when she clicked on it, it wasn't like this.
You're right.
But go in. You're not wrong. This is where you'd expect to find it. So where's Sam Rainwater's songs in this PC music? Did you find it?
I'm looking. I've lost it again.
Well, you know what you could do is you could go back to that Explorer window from the software.
There you go.
Okay, but there's no
disk. Music on C drive. So inside there is the files.
No, it's empty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's empty. There's no files in there.
What do you mean?
Those are zip drives, zip files. So those are archives that can't be seen until they're brought out. So what you could do
is extract.
Yeah, you could extract those. You're not actually having a video editor problem. You're having a file archiving problem.
You got that right. Compressed. Okay.
Hey, this is what I like about Computer Club. We're solving problems.
So if I extract, how do I extract and keep them?
Well, an easy way, a way I do it all the time is back up a folder. So go back to the Sam Rainwater folder.
Got it.
And this is what I like to do. I like to grab it with the right mouse button.
Yep.
Grab it by the right mouse button and drag it a hair down and drop it and extract. Yeah, drop it and then say extract and then just hit OK.
Pressed.
I'm sorry?
And now it won't be.
Hit extract down at the bottom.
Got it.
And this will create a new folder, an extracted folder of files right there in that location. Oh. And then you can grab that folder and put it wherever you want.
So now when I look at this same folder in the video editor, it'll show up as MP3s.
That's correct. Because they were hidden in a compressed archive.
Oh, that's what's happening with my photos too. Another topic. But anyways. All right. So just right click, drop them down, extract them, and then they're there.
Yeah, you can grab that folder now. You could stick it in the music folder if you wanted to, or drop it into iTunes. It would import them.
Or put it on your desktop so you can always see it.
Yeah. I mean, depending on how you plan on using it. Like I imagine you'd want a folder in your music library because you want it mixed up with iTunes. You want it part of your playlists and things like that. But you may want to keep a track or two in a different place because it's part of a project that you're working
on. You guys have just
made my life so much easier, but also so much difficult because I have a huge project I have to do now. I think I'm getting it. You've solved a problem on photographs and Google Photo and things there, as well as this music one. So I have a lot of work cut out to me.
Mentioned something that's fun and connection.
Remote at internationalcs.net for all your computer needs and help. That's two birds with one stone. Sorry, Chester. Go ahead. I'm just feeling good.
I've had fun through the years by adding different music and different sounds to video, whether it's home video or slideshow. And you can go online and download applause. You can download screaming. You can download hurting sounds. You can, and it's really a lot of fun to put these into your video, these different kind of human sounds that are manufactured. It's just a fun project.
That's awesome, Chester. You know, recently I've been doing some video stuff and it didn't even occur to me how easy it would be. But yeah, of course you could put applause. You could canned sound effects out there.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And what do you use, Chester? Do you use a website or do you use?
I downloaded them into a special folder for sounds. And then when I'm doing a slideshow or video that I want to put that into, I just drag it over and put it in, and it adds to the the viability of what you're producing.
Do you have a place you go to find sounds like that, Chester? You have a website you would recommend to us?
I haven't done this in a long time. You just go online, I would think, if I can recall, and put applause sounds check around, and when you hear something you like, you save it.
Cool. Applause effects, free downloads is a Google suggested search.
Another example of modifying sound, I had one video of country and Western production music, and the artist, the sound system that was used by the professionals, they got part of the way through it and they cut the volume back. And it wasn't realistic. So I went in and changed the volume in that particular section so it would sound more realistic. And why the producers did that originally, I have no idea, but it just didn't sound right. And she's singing along and all of a sudden the voice gets weaker. And I fixed that.
That's a great suggestion I hadn't even thought of, but it's so intuitive to just add a little extra to whatever video you're putting together.
Some It's just fun.
Sorry, I was having to get back into my mind space. Has anybody got anything? Oh, go ahead, Jester.
Another thing that can be fun, and when you're putting together a slideshow and you have your and you want to add words to the particular slides, you can make them come across the screen as a running, like you see on television, where they have the news running across the bottom. You can do that with your video and with your slideshow, and have the words come across the bottom as you're going from slide to slide.
Jester, the technical term is Krylon, Chrylon. That they're called Krylons.
Oh, okay, good. There's one famous one that almost every movie uses it, and it has to do with the pain. When you get shot, there's a moan, and every movie uses it instead of the real thing.
We were talking about that a few weeks ago, weren't we? The Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bill, how do you spell that again? Cryon?
I think it's Chrylon. Let me look it up.
But that's like
I also hear it referred to as the lower third.
I call it the ticker tape. You know,
the ticker. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have the thing. But a rule for putting text onto a video, people will put up a title or something, and they'll either leave it on or too long or not long enough. The rule is you have to be able to read it yourself because you know what it says. You tend to put it up there and read it. But if you're seeing it for the first time, read it through. Is it twice or three times, Bill?
Twice.
You have to be able to read it through twice, and then you know that the other people will catch it.
Okay, Scott, it's spelled it's Chiron, Chyron. So it might be Chiron.
Chiron. And well, I've heard it referred to as the lower third for a long time.
Well, that's what it says. May refer to lower third television graphics that occupy the lower area of the screen or any predominantly text-based video graphic.
Very cool. Canned sound effects, Chiron graphic effects. In this video editor that Microsoft has put out, they have a whole. In fact, let me do a quick presentation again. I was very impressed with the number of themes and effects that they had available. But then they have a marketplace, and there's lots of stuff you don't have to buy, but then if there's something even more professional you're looking for.
Does that program also have transitions?
It does. It does. I mean, I guess I'm going back and continuing to talk about it because it surprised me. It was very full-featured, much more than it had ever been before. So let me see. Where am I still?
Okay, real quick, Scott. It's yeah. Chiron.
Chiron.
Not Chiron, but Chiron. There we go.
I think some combination of me sharing the screen and bringing up the video editor and doing a Google Meet while recording it for YouTube has got my system questioning how hard it should work for me. Here we go. There's a title card. I'm going to show how little I actually learned now. Each one of these is a storyboard. And so it's kind of like a story in itself. It could be a clip of video that you've organized. Come on, bring up the title card. There we go. I'm just clicking around different styles that are available on the title card. And then these are all associated with themes as well. Do I remember how to do transitions? Because there definitely was transitions. Oh, and here's one of the things that I thought was really, they've a speed option. Or I'm thinking of it, but I'm not remembering how to set it. Here we go. So very quickly with a slider, you can slow down or speed up video, which just, I think, is a very advanced
feature. Make people sound drunk.
Well, you especially want to do that when you have a slide that has a lot of words on it that you want people to read, you need to adjust the seconds just for that one slide rather than the continuing slides.
Oh, okay. Well, the main thing is that technology has changed.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just seeing that work.
So there's two things there. The one is the speed, which changes the video speed, and the other is the timing. And that's what Chester was saying, like how long you leave something on. And that's what changed when I synced it to the music that was playing. Because I set everything for 3 seconds. I set all my photos in at 3 seconds. And then when I told it to sync to the sound, it reduced some to like half a second, or a whole second, 2 seconds. It just changed with the beat. You know, it was really cool that it just did it by itself. The other thing is a thing called motion, is where you can like zoom into the center or off to the side into different things.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish I actually didn't intend to demo it live. I don't actually have anything set up to demo it live. But yeah, we were just looking at motion. There's also 3D effects that you're able to do.
Yeah, I put some bumps in. And...
Scott?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that makes it look like your camera is moving. You have a slide that's fixed, but it looks like it's moving because the camera is changing changing the objective.
Yeah, you can like zoom to the right or up to the top. You can tilt it. You can do different things. Yeah.
Scott, I got a comment on that.
Yeah, Bill.
When people start editing, especially photographs with that motion thing, they really usually get carried away. To me, it becomes very, very distracting that every picture has a motion. It goes off to the corner and it goes down or whatever. Every picture does. And that's not necessary.
Right.
A straight cut, just bang, bang, is as effective as any almost. It's only used, you should only use it for a transition effect if you're going from one category to another or something like that, but not for every picture. I stop watching him if I see him that way. It's just upsetting to me. Anyway, that's my comment.
That Scott, who's the MC.
Yeah, there are all kind of weird transitions that you could put in, but to me the simple
that,
one is
Scott,
the fade.
Who's the MC.
The fade from one slide
that,
to the next.
Scott,
works best.
Who's the
me.
MC.
And this one doesn't use the word transition. Like I can't remember what I did between the two. Like this is the movement within the clip.
That Scott,
I don't know if you can go back out to your timeline.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sorry, I was just playing.
Yeah.
I was playing with filters and effects. No, I don't want to change anything. Though I like the pixelated.
Okay. Banana. So where can you do the transitions? I think it's...
I don't see it, but I did see him doing it.
It was under theme or something, maybe?
Well, you can theme the whole project.
Yeah.
What does theme do?
Theme is really ideal for if you had a collection of photos and... you wanted to just do a slideshow kind of thing, so this is, it would come with text, and so here it is under a theme.
Oh, ready?
We're rolling.
Oh, okay. Well, the main thing is that technology.
Oh, and I sped Irving up.
And for old people like me, if you want to stay up with all the advantages of technology.
Actually, I wonder if that speed up applies to audio. Let me turn off the additional audio here. So the theme audio is in the background. So it did. It sped up the audio. I hope you guys can hear that. It's like a Tom and Jerry cartoon. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, it's too much because we.
Yeah.
Can. Well, it's coming and going, and it's too many things at once.
Too many things at once. You mean as a presentation? You don't think I should make this up as a formal video with a green title card that says title, has a picture of my daughter in cosplay, and Irving sped up to supersonic speed? I agree. I might get a lot of likes on YouTube, but I don't think it's – I think it's an inferior video product.
What I actually meant was that you talking, the video running, and it's jerky, and we're not seeing it very clearly.
I think you got a career in TikTok, Scott.
In TikTok? I don't even know what TikTok is.
Yeah. Isn't that that movie thing that they're – whatever that the kids all play with?
TikTok. Oh, TikTok. TikTok. I got you.
Yeah. Come on. Get with the program.
There we go. I don't know. My computer sure feels like it's working really hard to do. Anyway, if you're looking for a video editor without having to pay anything, Microsoft has finally included a fairly decent one.
I think you're still presenting.
Am I still presenting?
I'd like to mention that for those of us that are retired, and as a hobby, these video editing programs are just a lot of fun, and they eat up time, and it can be very rewarding from accomplishing something.
Yeah, I don't think you have to be retired to appreciate that. I sure sit down. I do a lot of video editing and audio editing, and it does. It eats up a lot of time. And actually, I feel guilty when I don't have the time to do a good job now, because I've had the time to, under COVID, I've had the time to do a really good job on the audio editing. And then I'll have a week where I have piles of work and I don't have any time to dedicate to it at all. And because I know I could do a better job, I feel guilty that I didn't.
No regrets.
No regrets. Well, does anybody have any topics they've brought? I have a list of things besides the Jim, did you say you had something?
I have something very simple that I'm sure you guys are going to know about. I've got my iPad and I've got the MacBook. And Carolyn had some trouble because she deleted the GarageBand, and because we needed more space on the big computer. And about 2 weeks later, she needed GarageBand, so she wanted to reinstall it. Well, of course, she couldn't get the old version. She had to get a new version, so she had to update and do all kinds of things. And in the process, things locked up, and we lost a lot of stuff off the computer, one of which was our contacts list. So I have the list is on my iPad, and I've got a dongle, or what looks to be a dongle, that can go into the iPad and the other one, but it won't. The main computer won't recognize the iPad when we hook them together. We don't know how it's connecting, or it doesn't seem to actually.
Well, Jim. First of all, maybe that's not the right approach to solving the problem with the contact list. Your computer should see that device. It should show up in iTunes. It should give you the ability to sync things like songs and photos. But if you're using iCloud, that's really should be your go-between devices.
So we should send stuff to the cloud and then catch it back down again?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. If you're not already doing that, you should do that. Hmm. And you're not limited to iCloud. In fact, I've had devices in the past where the user would only use Google, or they would only use Microsoft. So I'm not sure what your main email system is, but might be a more appropriate place to put your contacts.
Okay.
You have iPhones and a Macintosh and an iPad.
True.
So you're not working outside of the Apple ecosystem.
No.
So actually iCloud makes the most sense for you.
To use as a transfer. So and can I do it by Bluetooth? Can they connect by Bluetooth instead?
No, you're actually signing into those cloud services. You've said transfer a couple of times, and it does feel like a transfer. But I always think it's more appropriate to think of them as kind of windows into services. And so, like, your contacts are stored in iCloud, and you're just accessing them from your phone. And they do. They transfer a copy of them into your phone so that you have them convenient, but they're updated consistently online. So if you were to add a contact on your iPad, it would show up on your iPhone eventually.
Well, that's just it. That Carolyn, when she got it back, her contacts were several years old because of the where she got them from. I'm not exactly sure, some backup system, but I know that on this on the iPad, I've got up to the minute ones from just a couple of days ago. And so what we'd like to do is have it so that all of that goes on, and we don't need to worry about those that other system.
Certainly, certainly. So, Jim, I'm trying to imagine what happened to get the old ones. I maybe they were already in the device, or maybe it's an old copy off of iCloud. But what I would start with is, if you have a device that has all the contacts on it, then go into your settings and go under iCloud and verify that contacts are being synchronized.
But if synchronized implies that we may end up with these new ones, or the good ones, being replaced by old ones.
Well, all we're going to do first is to discover what's going on.
Okay.
So if you go into settings, and at the top of settings, there's going to be your account.
Yep.
And if you click on your account, below that, you should see a link for iCloud.
iCloud, yeah.
And then under iCloud, it'll show you all the things you're synchronizing. I think it's check marks they use to indicate what's being synchronized. I'm having to do this from memory. I don't have a device in front of me.
It does have contacts as being saved to the cloud.
Okay. So I think that the contacts you're looking at in your iPad are your cloud contacts. So now I would go over to the device that's incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So is that your phone?
No, it's this Caroline? One that you're talking
about. It's
on.
The one that we're on the meeting with.
Oh, okay. Well, can you get into your settings? You can put the meeting in the background. I don't know if you can still hear me or not.
Do we want, like, testing preferences?
You go into settings of the iPhone. So, like, go to the home screen.
Of the computer?
I'm sorry. It is a computer. I was thinking it was an iPhone. So you're trying to get your contacts onto your computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you go into system preferences.
Just a sec. Yeah.
And depending on what version of Mac OS you have, it's going to have either at the top your account with an Apple ID.
Yes, it's there.
Okay, so you can click on that.
Yeah, you know where this is going to get complicated, Scott, is that, as you know, our horror is we're both on the same computer. So Apple ID comes up under me.
Okay, and that's not what's on the...
Let me have a look.
No, it's James Purden on the other one.
No, it's Jim Carolyn there and Carolyn Haynes here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that these are the kinds of problems people have with Apple accounts and Apple IDs.
So worst thing that ever happened to us.
Well, and so you could deal with it a couple of different ways. I mean, one way is you could just start sending her contacts.
Yeah.
Right?
At a time.
Does your computer, does it say that it's syncing contacts at the moment when you look at your iCloud? Is contacts part of that list? The computer. That's what we were just talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, I just closed that out.
Even though it's under your ID, does it show?
It shows on the top, Scott, it shows Apple ID, and then beside it, it says family sharing. Is that the same
thing? Just click Apple ID.
Oh, okay. Just a sec.
And it'll give you a list of everything that your iCloud is being used for.
Yeah. It's iCloud Drive, Photos, Contacts.
Is there a check mark?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So what you're looking at on your computer is your contacts in the cloud, Caroline.
Okay.
And on the iPad, those are Jim's contacts. So we've established that. Mm-hmm. So you could deal with it in a couple of different ways. One way, you could just start sending her contacts. guests. And there's a way to do that. We could look that up. There's a way where you can share your contact. You can send it over to the Caroline account or to her device.
One at a time.
One at a time. It's not a great solution, but it's one way you can deal with it. Another way I could imagine is that you could sign into the computer under the gym account, synchronize the contacts, leave a copy in the computer, and then use those to synchronize the Caroline account.
Yeah, I could see that working, Scott.
Okay, we'll try that.
Yeah, so that's another option you can try and do.
And
I think there also is a way to do it in family accounts. I don't know if Bill or Cheryl has tried anything like that with sharing contacts through family accounts. Have you had any experience with that?
Those is that now, Jim.
Okay.
Cheryl? No.
Cheryl's shaking her head like doesn't sound like something she's done before.
No, Bill.
When I got a new phone, I shared my whole contact list with it. But that went from an iPhone to Android.
And in the same account, Cheryl?
No, totally different platforms and everything. And it worked. It was when I bought the new phone. It said sync with contact. So it was a syncing function. And then otherwise, we have shared a lot of contacts one by one.
Yeah.
Do you know offhand how to do that? I've just forgotten.
Oh well, just when you open up the contacts, you scroll down, and one of the things says share contact. And you just click it. And usually what we do is we have the other person right there with their Bluetooth on, and it just goes in the air. And then the other person says accept.
For contact.
AirDrop, yes. I guess it's called.
Yeah. And I see the thing here, Cheryl, for share contact. So, yeah, we'll work our way through that. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. That's great knowledge, because you guys might take this as an opportunity to tailor that contact list. Maybe you only care about 24 of what was on your contact.
Right.
There is that.
Well, because of my writing, I've got several hundred contacts, actually. So I do need to go through them one at a time. Yeah.
Well, and that several hundred, are they in James's account?
Yes.
They are. Okay, good.
They
good. So you've
mine,
got you've got them. Here. Everything else is about convenience.
Yeah. Okay. I got my work cut out.
All right.
Yeah. Couple of hours. Thanks for that, and I'll put this back where it belongs now.
That's not the solution.
This is not the solution.
I've got a problem. Yeah, actually, one of the things I've been really impressed with as we've moved forward, whether you're an adopter of cloud technology or not, I seldom have to plug a phone into a computer anymore, and that's just great. That's less wear and tear. Every time you have to plug one of those cables, you're sparking, you're putting force, physical force. And the idea that I don't have to dump pictures into it anymore, that it just goes on some service automatically, makes that so much easier.
Yeah.
I have a problem.
What you got, Fred?
I'm trying to make phone calls on my iPad. And I know Acme Widgets is in my contact list.
More coffee?
Yes, please.
And I go search and under A, and Acme Widgets does not show up. But if I type in the phone number, it records it as being Acme Widgets.
What is Acme Widgets?
Huh?
This is the company.
What is Acme Widgets?
one of those that comes from Roadrunners. Roadrunner cartoons?
Sure, yeah. But what is it in your phone?
It would be Acme Widgets.
So this is like an emoticon. This is like a GIF?
Well, it's just an example. But what I'm saying is, when I'm looking for the phone number and I put in an Acme, it does not show up on my phone.
But, I'm sorry, Fred. You caught me off guard. So when you're looking for a phone number.
Right. And I type in Acme. It should show up at Acme Widgets.
Okay.
It does not. But so I put in the phone number manually. And after you, well, when you're on the phone and after your phone call, it comes up and says that phone number was Acme Widgets. But you can't access it.
Fred, I've had this problem before.
Oh, good.
I don't know if it's the same on an iPhone, but on my Android phone, I have put what I thought was the name in the wrong field. And when I look at the contact card, it looks correct. And when I go make a phone call, it brings up that contact information. But when I look for the contact, I can't find it. And it's because I put the name, the full name, not in the name field, but in some other field, like the company field or the organization field or the person's title field. So maybe what you're looking for is a contact that organized by name. Maybe it's blank or it has a period in it. But
the telephone number.
Yeah, the telephone number. In fact, maybe you can search your contacts by telephone number.
Well, unfortunately, I don't know the phone number.
Oh, wait.
So
Can't you get to the contact card from the call log, if that makes sense? If you're looking at the numbers you called,
yeah.
Can you get to the information of the contact from there?
It's usually a little I right off at the edge. Yeah. Sometimes when I look at my telephone recent list, if you go to touch it, it seems like you make a call. But instead of doing that, go to the I on the edge. And that information will tell you what your contact is saved as.
There you go.
Okay.
And then if you look in that contact card, just verify that the name you're looking for is in the correct field.
Okay. I'll give that a shot. And if it doesn't work, I'll tell you about it next week.
Yeah. I'd be very interested to know if the iPhone, because that's definitely a problem I've had before on my Android phone.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question. I had to do it the other way around. Instead of going to my phone and trying to search for the contact, I go to my contact list and then find the person that I want and hit the telephone, if that makes sense. Instead of going to the telephone, go to the contact and then phone them or text them or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
But when I go under contacts, it does not show up.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Is that you can't find it in contacts.
You can't scroll down till you find something that looks like it?
Not even.
Well, Cheryl, that's the premise of my thought, is that there's nothing that looks like it because it's been entered in a different field than the name field.
Yeah.
But so it could be a period. It could be a blank. It could be a blank line. It could be something like that. It could be a representation of the phone number, like maybe it's 7 digits instead of 10. Yeah, Maggie, you wanted to ask something.
Oh, I want to know if you did any research into Clearstreams.
No, I didn't.
Anybody know anything about it?
I don't even remember when we were talking about it.
No, I sent you a WhatsApp and asked you what you knew about it.
Oh, no, I didn't look into it at all. I'm sorry, Maggie. I don't know anything about it, but it's for TV service?
A friend of mine has it for $13 a month, and it's like having everything on DirecTV with no buffering.
Clearstream TV, wireless TV.
Well, it's just clearstreams.com, and they sent me the the contact site, the website, and when I open it, it says, send us your information, we'll send you pricing. And I've done it 3 times, and they've never answered me. Now, he doesn't know enough about what's going on to explain to me how it works. Somebody set it up for him on his Fire Stick. And I can't find anything about it to do it. So I was hoping Scott was going to be the genius in the group and solve the problem.
No, I'm sorry, Maggie. I didn't find anything on this. And I'm doing a Google search right now, and I'm finding a device called Clearstream.
Yeah, that's all I can find, an antenna or something weird like that. But no, his Fire Stick was programmed, so he's
well, like the way this would work is it would plug into an HD antenna and allow you to record TV shows that you could watch on a tablet or a phone or a smart TV.
That's not it. And he might have sent me the wrong name for all I know. And he's a little bit reluctant to tell me who set him up. So I'm still working on him.
Well, otherwise,
to get the information out of him.
Yeah, the way you're describing it sounds like a service like Scott Bailey's been doing, that Radiosity.
it sounds like that, only unlike Scott Bailey's, it doesn't buffer and it works. And you don't, and so far, knock on wood, he hasn't lost any channels.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely within the class of programs, you would probably have to be comparing and contrasting.
And I asked him how he pays every month. He said he gave whoever it is his credit card number, and the $13 is deducted every month automatically. So that's all the information I'm able to get at this point. I'm going to see if I can't convince him to let me call the person who set him up and see if we can't do the same thing.
Yeah, you need to do some research for us. Let us know what's going on.
I'll see what I can find out.
Is that all in Mexico, Maggie?
Beg your pardon?
Is that all in Mexico that you're doing this?
Yes. And everything he's getting, it's like when I saw his TV guide, whatever you call it, it looked like the old DirecTV we used to have when we first moved down here and Ruben Pinto used to take care of us. Anybody remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Everything. It had everything. And we watched Super Bowl with no buffering whatsoever.
Wow.
So I'll keep working.
Now, how's his internet in general? You know, I know your internet's fairly iffy at times.
Today, in fact. I'm having to participate on my phone because I can't get my computer to work.
Okay. But I mean, you're still on Telmex, aren't you?
Yes.
And you're still at that 10 megabits a second speed, is that
probably
right?
Probably. I haven't checked it in a while. I also have Telcel in it. I've been using Telcel for my Spanish classes without any problem, but today, for whatever reason, must be the laptop. It just doesn't want to work.
Well, any of those systems would also suffer at whatever quality of internet you have. Yeah, so it may be that depending on the circumstances, it's going to be better or worse.
Okay, well, I'll see what I can find out. Hopefully I'll have some good information next week.
Yeah, work on that guy.
Yes, ma'am. Sir.
Hey, I've got a note from last week's follow-up on storage, but I don't remember what we were talking about last week. Aren't I terrible? I wrote down follow-up storage.
That could have been Carolyn, and that's how we ended up crashing the computer, because we tried to fix the storage problem.
Oh, no.
And then, of course, to get more storage, she dumped the GarageBand and 3 days later needed it for something. And then had to reinstall it with a much bigger one. So
that didn't help either.
No. So we're still on the storage problem. And we have some drives that we've looked up. And this one's called ProBox. It's old, but it has the contents of a computer that's long gone now, and that's,
oh, okay.
that's how we were able to reboot it up to where we are sort of now.
You know, your problem, you can just throw money at. You could just buy storage, problem goes away quickly.
I know. I'm too Scottish. I'm too Scottish. I just don't. I hate having monthly bills because I just think, how much is that going to cost for 100 years? You know.
Well,
I don't think you have that problem, Jim.
I know, Bill. I thought you would be first to point that out.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you a little anecdote. The one time. We were saying goodbye to our grandchildren, and Cheryl gave her grandson a hug, and he's 13 or 12, so he kind of shirks away a little bit, and she says, "Avin, I'm going to give you hugs for the rest of your life." And he looks her in the eye, and he says, "Well, Grandma, wouldn't that be for the rest of your life?"
Kids say the darndest things.
He's out of the will.
Yeah. That's cute. Well, I was kind of thinking a spinning disc. They've got up to 4 terabytes now. Mm-hmm. You could just offload the entire computer and just format it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
That's
basically what happened. But we didn't have this computer. We had to go back to a previous computer to go back to, and that's where we're trying to update the lists from the iPad and the phone. I'm pretty sure we're going to end up buying some cloud.
It's too easy. They make it too easy. That's the. You can actually. I was reading about how you can do your time machine in a OneDrive. So you could use that terabyte of space that Microsoft gives you mm-hmm. to be your OneDrive backup, which I thought was a fascinating because it's not an official way of doing things. But what it requires is for you to have that much space on your computer to begin with. So it doesn't offload anything. In fact, it actually adds. If you had a 1 terabyte system, you'd want to have 2 terabytes in your computer so that you could use the OneDrive cloud space. But it's just, to me, it's just another sign of how integrated and how easy all this cloud stuff is becoming. It's just, they make it easy and cheap.
Yeah, that's okay, right.
Jim, I want to put something in perspective for you. The very first hard drive I bought was a 10 megabyte hard drive, and it cost $3,000. You know, just to put things into perspective a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know I'm getting a bargain at this time, that's for sure. And I'm able to pay it with my little Canadian dollars and all that sort of thing. So,
well, these were little Canadian dollars too.
Yeah.
But at that time in my life, they weren't so little. They were probably at par.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I think that's what's going to have to happen eventually is we'll just get more, because we do have the free space on, I think it's Google and the Google Cloud, but not we haven't bought any from Apple.
Should we move on? Do we have any topics, anything that anybody would like to, any recommendations?
Recommendations.
Have you got TV shows, movies, websites, apps, books? Special feelings you think we should all know about. This is the time to do it.
Okay.
No, not those feelings.
I could recommend the new operating system. I'm playing with Linux and having a good time.
It's been fun to spend time with Bill online going through his Linux adventure. Go ahead. Give us an update, Bill.
Oh,
Bill,
well,
you know what we should do is a Linux moment each week.
A Linux moment.
Yeah, Bill's Linux moment.
Oh, geez, I don't know. During this particular meeting, I have successfully installed Calibri, which is a program that downloads ebooks onto my Fire. Only I'm still fighting with it. It's not quite working right. And I've also downloaded uTorrent and installed it. There you go. That's my Linux moment.
Calibre has been around for a long time.
I use it all the time on Windows 10 to push books, ebooks out to my Fire tablet. Yeah. And it works it works excellent.
The term is sideload.
Is it sideloading?
Okay. Yeah, you're sideloading to your device.
Yes. Well,
you say it out of the side of your mouth.
Yeah,
like you're something. Yeah, sideloading it. I'm going to sideload it.
Well,
because you're not going through the official cloud channels to get it onto your Kindle.
Well, they are unofficial ebooks as well, so we won't talk about that.
That's right. That's why I know Calibre. It strips DNR, doesn't it?
I suppose so. Yes.
Or DRM.
Yeah, you can.
DRM.
You can strip it off. You just convert the book, and away you go.
Yes, I think I heard Irving. Is that right?
Well, if you want a movie recommendation, I don't know if it's for anybody, and I watch a lot of movies. I was very, very impressed with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Who is in that? I've forgotten. I saw the commercial for it.
I don't follow the names. But it's great acting, and I know it came up for a lot of awards. So I don't know how high it did. But it's a very powerful movie, and I thought it was great.
Did you find it on Netflix or Prime?
Probably. I'm having a problem getting Prime, so it's probably Netflix.
Say the title again, please.
It's Ma Rainey's, Raineys, Black Bottom. And Ma Rainey was a blues singer at a certain period of time.
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Okay. Rainey's like raining.
R-A-I-N-E-Y-S. You'll find it. It's one
yeah,
of the...
Yeah, I found it. Yeah. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Good.
And it's about a blues
singer.
How
was it rated, Scott?
High. Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 98.
There you go.
So I think we all got to watch it. Sounds good.
It is a little rough, I have to tell you. Ma Rainey was no saint, but she was protesting in her way, the only way she could get by with it back then. That song about grapes, I've forgotten the whole thing. Anyway, that all of that was just fascinating.
Song about grapes. Wait, what time period does this cover? Oh, 1927.
So, Scott, you were going to ask your mom about Australia.
Oh, Mom, what was the rainforest we hiked through in Tasmania?
Oh, we were doing the Cradle Mountain Trail, which is about an 85-mile trail.
Earlier, Cheryl and I were comparing Australian notes. She was there in the mid to late 90s, oh, or 80s, I'm sorry, uh-huh. 80s.
84, 85, yeah.
Before us. Yeah. Where were you?
All over. It was 3 months of a bus pass. They got us all the way from Sydney out to Perth and up through the middle and around and down. But I had family in Melbourne and a friend in Adelaide. And then some more family, not far from where it sounds like where you guys were, a station there.
Mm-hmm.
In Tasmania?
No, all in Australia. I didn't make it to Tasmania.
Well, it's a wonderful place. I think I told you about the McLeod daughters as a series of just sweet things and farming things. And it just, you know, we love it because we can hear the birds. And we had birds that came into where we live. We had these big sulfur crested cockatoos. And you probably heard of galahs. And what else? Oh, magpies like crazy that sounded like sheep. So we had kind of a little farm experience then.
You're talking about in Castlemaine.
Yeah, in Castlemaine. I turn on my video, but I have to tell you, I'm changing clothes right now, so.
No, that's okay. We're fine.
Add in.
So, Scott, we were talking about recommendations. I watched a movie last night on Prime Video.
Cheryl, can I stop you just for a second? I wanted to – Ma Rainey's – I was just looking at this as a 1927 blues. It sounded so familiar to something that you and I just watched called Nina Simone. Have you guys heard of that?
I've been to her, the place where she was born in South Carolina. There's a beautiful statue of her there, but she's a black woman, and it's in South Carolina, and they put it in a place where you can barely see it, and you really have to want to get there. It's kind of like between a railroad tracks and the road, where there's no real footpath to get there. But we've got a good picture of Carolyn. She's a wonderful player.
Well, that's now she's from the 1930s. Otherwise, it almost sounded like the exact same story. And this documentary is available on Netflix. You and I were just watching it, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, Cheryl, but I felt like it was so appropriate to mention it right with Ma Rainey, because it's like 10 years apart, the same kind of woman, the same kind of thing going on.
And Nina left and went to France.
Well, we really enjoyed that documentary. I'm going to see if – oh, no, it wasn't a documentary. I'm sorry. It was a dramatization of her life. But we really enjoyed that. And so I'm going to turn her on to this Ma Rainey's now and see if you guys enjoy that. Go ahead, Cheryl. What was the movie that you were talking about?
I watched one last night. It's called I Care a Lot.
Oh, that's great. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it was – okay, Scott, you're younger than I am. it might be for the people of a certain age group around here. It might be a horror film. But anyways, it's a woman that monopolizes, takes advantage of seniors and and basically gets them declared incompetent and becomes their guardian, steals their homes, but she picks the wrong woman. And it's an interesting watch.
Oh, it's great. It's great. And if anything, it really outlies, like, what she was doing wasn't necessarily illegal and in some places appropriate to have a guardian. But she definitely pushed the envelope with what was ethical and what was okay. And definitely, I mean, reached a point where she was the bad guy. Oh, but yeah. you could see playing that line. Like I imagine there are people out there doing that kind of work, and they're running that line, that gray area between legality and ethics and whether it's needed or not.
The average age in our town is over 60, and it's a concern. It's happened more than once here, that's for sure.
Yeah, somebody's been taken advantage of because but this was really crooked people. But the way she survives some things, it's a movie that was interesting and it makes you shake your head on a lot of different levels, and a twist in the end.
I think you got to see it. It's a great movie. It really does make you think. Just when you think it's done with, it's not, and then it's not again, and then it's not again. You're like, I thought we were done with this already. Yeah. And the moving back and forth between the protagonists and the antagonists, how they keep taking the spotlight of the story. You're thinking one is going to come out on top, and then it's the other. No, it's the other. And then the surprise ending at the end. It's definitely worth a watch.
And who really is dead and not dead? Yeah. So, anyways, it's a different one. And I watched The Right Stuff finally on Disney. You know,
the TV series, yes.
Yeah, I'm watching that Disney Star. Like, when I go to my Disney thing and I search for stuff, new to Disney and all that kind of stuff, I don't go to Star itself, but I see the things that we talked about Star, and they're all in there. But I watched that, and it was one series of 8 episodes. Is that it, or is there more?
That's all there is so far. But did you make it all the way through? Because I was really left with the impression that they could just spin off and keep going and go beyond the book.
Well,
so I wasn't convinced it was done.
Okay, The Right Stuff. I got to the point where the Kennedy announces that they're going to the moon.
Yeah,
and that was the end of it. So I'm not sure if there's more after that.
I don't think there is. In fact, I haven't. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to bring it up right now. The Right Stuff show, because I really enjoyed it. So much so I was expecting there to be more. In fact, in the references that we look at online, like the IMDb references and the Track TV reference, they all reference it as an ongoing series. So I expect more to come out.
When was it made?
I don't remember if the Right Stuff story, did they make it to the moon in the Right Stuff story?
Movie recommendations.
Yeah, I don't think in the original book they actually made it to the moon. I think they made it to space.
Yeah, they didn't go to the moon in the movie or the story.
Oh, the hostiles.
It looks like the last episode is episode 8.
Okay.
But did you get the impression I did? I got the impression that they may just spin off of it and continue NASA's history as they go farther. I mean, even though it goes beyond the book, it just felt that way when it ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that there would be something more to come. And I also, like, when was this made?
It was released last year.
2020, okay. It says.
It's so similar to something that I watched, like, about 4 or 5 years ago. But it was more focused on the wives, and it was a really story about the wives. Maybe Astronaut Wives or something. And it was a series.
Well, that sure sounds vaguely familiar. I mean, it seems like a theme that we've seen in TV that's been played again and again.
Yeah.
These different perspectives of that same history.
Yeah, because there were parts of it I was thinking, well, I know this and I've seen this. And then I thought, but no, this was just made last year.
Well, are you sure you're not getting it? Like I had that experience, but I read the book and I've seen the movie. And so I'm like, oh yeah, here's this part. I was revisiting those experiences, but through this mm-hmm. new perspective.
Yeah, maybe that's all it was, but yeah. Yeah. So the thing about the women astronauts, was that actually something that happened?
That's the way I understand it.
Huh. Okay.
That was all part of, I mean, wasn't it the success that shut that down? Was then it became too dangerous to try and put one, before it was a PR thing. And then when they actually were going to the moon, that's when all the focus was lost on the women's aspect of it.
Hmm.
I'm probably not a good one to reiterate history. It's just never been my strong. Most of the history I have is from movies I've watched. So I've got a warped perspective.
Okay, Scott.
Yes, sir.
It's on the one site, it says season 2 of The Right Stuff appears to be going ahead with production moving from Florida to California for the second outing. So
this,
it appears
this
to
doesn't,
be.
It doesn't surprise me at all. It's Disney. I mean, they made Snow White too.
Somebody made Coming to
right?
America too.
Yeah.
They're going to America too. My God, that's how many years ago was Eddie Murphy in that thing?
That was 30 years. That was 30 years ago.
And that's what it says at the beginning of the movie. It says 30 years have gone by or something. They're doing the remake.
They've got those guys looking so good. I could only hope to look that good 30 years in between. I was watching Eddie Murphy give an interview, and they were saying that one of their first ideas was to have Tracy Morgan play the son in that role, because that's the premise of the story, is he goes back to America to find his son. But it was, they all had to agree it wasn't a very good idea because Tracy Morgan looks the same age they do. So they had to find a guy that looked younger. Well, you know, we were talking about I Care a Lot, and that is a very dark comedy. I've got another one. Not on that, but as a dark comedy that really caught us by surprise. It's a movie called The Kid Detective. And I think from reading the credits, it was a Canadian production. And it is a great story. Don't let the title throw you off of it. The premise is all fantasy. The idea is an Encyclopedia Brown type character has grown up having been a successful detective in his youth, but is kind of a washout in the late 20s of his life because of a case he was never able to solve, a murder case in his town. And so he's still detecting, but he's got an addiction problem, and he's kind of living in circles. Just barely making ends meet and still doing the same job he had adopted himself to when he was a teenager. It is a very surprising movie as you go through it. It's rich with ideas and content. We did not get bored with it, but it's a subtle movie. There isn't any flashy moments. There isn't flashy graphics. It's a lot of dialogue and situations. But what we found was it never got dry. It kept whetting our appetite for more. And even the end ended up being a real surprise, a surprise ending.
Kid Detective.
The Kid Detective.
All right. Carolyn and I watched a good movie the other day. It was called The Hostiles, or just Hostiles. Anybody else seen that?
I feel like I've seen the title, but I don't think I watched the movie.
It's set in 1892, and it's like they're trying to some native people have been incarcerated for a long time. And change of administration in Washington in 1892, they decided to empty the prison and send some of these native people back to their own ancestral land. And so it was a kind of changing job for the army to protect these people that they had incarcerated that they were fighting against for all these years, and move them through hostile territory with other tribes. There were other tribes, so that all of a sudden these natives were then on the same side as the army, even though they had been incarcerated by the army for a long time. I thought it was interesting, some parallels. And it's also surprising in that it's almost British in the way there's, you know, poignant pauses and you know, conversation that kind of just joggy like that, you know, like we both enjoyed it, Carolyn and I. So
it sounds like, was it driven as much by dialogue as by action? It sounds like
a good balance between the two, but it was definitely lots of dialogue there.
Well, that's cool. Maybe I'll check that out.
I think it's Netflix.
As I've probably mentioned before, what I try and do is I try and grab some information about what we recommend from Wikipedia and stick it on the blog post so you can read it right there. I also put a link to that article, and I put a link to typically Just Watch, so you can click on the title of what we recommended, and it'll take you to the Just Watch page, which should help you find where to legitimately stream it somewhere in your area. You may need to change the Just Watch page to the United States or Canada or Mexico, but it'll list all the different streaming services that might be available on. About the only time I don't do that, it's because I'm connecting it to Netflix or a specific service, because that's the only place to watch it. Is there any other recommendations? Recommendations are open for books, movies, TV, websites, podcasts, apps, audiobooks. Anybody feel like they want to share something new that they've found enjoyable recently?
Scott? Well, it's not something to watch, but it is a watch. Sorry. No, Bill has told you the story of...
Jerry, I'm muting your microphone. You're too funny for us.
I'm wearing the watch.
Irving, 1 second. Say again.
I'm wearing the watch that I think Bill told you the story about ordering watches and then getting free 1 cent and all that kind of stuff. Anyways, I'm wearing this watch, and it takes my temperature. It tells my blood pressure and my heart rate. It also counts my steps, tells me how many calories I've worn off, which is never enough. And I'm quite enjoying wearing it. We've got it downloaded with an app on my phone, and I'm keeping track of things. So that's a little technology thing that I'm doing. The other thing is, Scott, you've asked us to monitor things that set off our IAs.
Alexa device.
Well, I was asking our Alexa to turn off the kitchen lights, and we've got a Fire Stick attached to the TV that I watch Prime and everything on it, and I've never used Alexa with the Fire Stick, but it always says across the bottom, you know, ask Alexa to do this. So I asked for the kitchen lights to be turned on, and the TV went off. So I don't know what or with Alexa was listening, but somehow she controlled the TV for the first time in her life. So it was weird.
I blew my kids away with that the other day. I asked for the Mandalorian to be played. I did the A command word like you would to start anything else, but instead of asking for music, I asked for the TV show, and all of a sudden our TV is flipping over to the TV show, and my kids were like, "What? I had no idea we could do that."
Well, I have no, because I couldn't get it to turn it back on. I had to.
Well, it's probably off by that point.
I had to go find a remote and turn the TV back on and then set it back up to the receiver and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, it was one of those moments when the technology I had a little dramatic moment where I said that, you know, Bill's, all of his girlfriends, his technology in the house were going to kill us in our sleep. Yeah. So,
and now they're coming after your TV. Oh, yeah. Irving, you had something that you wanted to contribute.
Yes. I listened to lots and lots of audiobooks. And I just wanted to recommend two authors. My favorite author, I don't know if you like this style of subject, but my favorite author is an author called Nelson DeMille. Nelson DeMille, D-E-M-I-L-L-E. Brilliant, fabulous, subtle sense of humor. you can look at the ratings of his different books. I recommend you could start with the Gold Coast. And then the second author I was going to recommend is maybe not for men, I don't know, a great, great humorist called Sophie Kinsella, K-I-N-S-E-L-L-A. And you could start off with Shopaholic and Baby. So there's two author recommendations that I recommend highly.
Did you say Shopaholic and Baby? Those are two different.
Yeah, that's one of the titles of. But she has a whole series. Her humor is, she's very, very, very funny. My second favorite from her was one called The Domesticated Goddess, okay. And they're great stories. She's a brilliant writer, and that's it.
I'm looking her up right now. Thank you, Irving. Oh, there she is. She's fairly young, too. She's my age. Secrets of Dream World of a Shopaholic. Can You Keep a Secret? Christmas Shopaholic. I sense a shopping theme with her.
Well, that's the reason I recommended the second one is Domesticated Goddess. But if you start off with, let's say, Shopaholic and Baby, you kind of get an idea what she's all about.
Oh, my God. And, Paul's lost his head.
Paul is fading into the ether.
That's right. He's moving.
Now he's completely gone.
Yeah. So, Irving, you're doing a crossword puzzle, too. What's the theme there?
Well, it's 1,000 pieces. It's helped us through the pandemic. My wife and I really enjoy it. It's challenging. And it's I'll show a picture of it.
Oh.
Can you guys see that?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we used to like doing puzzles in our youth. When we were young marrieds. And so we've gotten back to it, and we're really my wife's a little addicted, and I'm enjoying it. And we lose track of time.
Carolyn and I, too. We've done a few of those 1,000 pieces, and we've got a group here. We pass them around. There's somebody that is about maybe 70 miles from here on the island that's producing puzzles, and so we're getting some local puzzles that are really quite tough, and he has themes in them. So he'll have like the letter S, and everything on the shelves in a museum will be S, and or another one will be everything will be purple. Or red in the thing, so it takes us a few days to get one done, you know.
In Tekelai, in San Carlos, the Tekelai library has a back room where they have puzzles, and I've been doing puzzles in San Carlos every winter. Kind of missing it this year, but I've gone to the technology ones, so I'm doing them on my iPad. So I do jigsaw puzzles there. But
I was going to ask Irving if he had spent any time on that jigsaw planet you guys turned me on to.
Yeah.
Well, the jigsaw planet doesn't seem to be challenging enough. And most of the online puzzles, you know, you want something that's really difficult to make it real interesting.
Yeah. Well, I
that's right. It should take hours.
So I set it so that they're rotated. So you have to actually flip the pieces over like you do when you're doing a real puzzle on the jigsaw planet. And that makes it a little more challenging. And then I also choose the themes of what, like I've been doing sunsets and beaches and different, you know, themes at Christmas time. I did Christmas themes. And it only takes me about 10 minutes to do a jigsaw, but it's kind of a fun little waster too. But there's a girl in a woman in San Carlos, Sherry Bowman, and she actually has, like, she's an artist, but she's made jigsaw puzzles, and she's quite famous for a couple of hers, like New York City one and a Las Vegas one, and different jigsaw puzzles.
Are they her paintings?
If you want a good, reasonably priced, mind-challenging jigsaw, get one of the Impossibles. There's 750 pieces. There is no border, and there's 5 extra pieces. What the puzzle designs are seem to be something like a bunch of golf clubs. So the only way you will successfully do these puzzles is to force your mind to concentrate on one color and only one color until you finish all of that. Then choose the second thing and do all of that. So they are by far interesting, and they're like $10 if you can find them. You'll have to find them. The other puzzles, if you want quality, Stave out of Vermont is unbelievably good. However, a 30-piece puzzle is $150. However, I have one of those, and you're lucky if in 3 or 4 hours you get the 30-piece puzzle together. Economical wood puzzle is Liberty out of Boulder, Colorado. It's actually the ex-senator's son, and they're about $100 for a 500 laser cut puzzle that is very interesting. Once you start doing some of them, you get addicted. I have a bunch of puzzles. Also sponsored the local theater group where they donated over their own puzzles to them, more like 50, more than $100. They are, you'll get addicted to ones that you'll.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, David, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're running out of time, and I got to bring it to a close. But I really wanted you guys to see this. If you weren't aware of this, this came out in December. It didn't. The news came out. The device hasn't come out. But this is called the KF console. It's a gaming console from KFC. They call it KFC Gaming.
John, I'm not seeing anything.
You're not seeing the presentation mode?
Maybe, but it seems.
I am, Bill. You've got.
I'm just reading half the screen.
So it looks, it's a black and red highlighted chicken box designed for gamers. It's a very powerful gaming PC. The idea is 4K at 240 frames per second. If you're not a gamer, I'm just here to tell you that's really high quality. And what it's doing is it's using the natural cooling, the natural heat that wafts off of this device to as a warmer. They call it a chicken warmer. It has a chicken drawer.
It's KFC.
It's KFC, that's right.
What the
KFC heck? Gaming. And it started out, we thought it was a joke, but it looks like it's going forward. We're expecting it to come out sometime this year.
Yeah. It's a big joke.
I heard somebody
talking.
Yeah, I
don't care if it's still a joke.
That's like going for a ride and cooking your meal on the top of your engine block.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that does
work. Right. Well, I'm thinking about what's your game controller and your keyboard end up looking like. But there's a Wikipedia entry for it talking about how KFC got into this. It was widely believed to be a joke until it was officially revealed in December. It is an I'm sorry, Paul, what was that?
You need to have a keyboard cover like mine.
That's right. You need a silicone keyboard cover.
Keep the crumbs.
The greasy fingers from the chicken.
It is an i9 10th generation Intel chip with an NVIDIA ray tracing and 4K resolution. First of its kind, hot swappable GPU socket. This is all according to KFC. Being built by Cooler Masters.
What's the temperature in the drawer?
I don't know. Warm. It's hot enough to keep chicken warm. I'm imagining you can keep anything warm in it. Maybe Pop-Tarts.
Settle down.
Well, we'll see. I think it's coming out this summer, or at least that's the way it's late. It's done by these cooler masters. Cooler Master, if we go to their main site, they specialize in gaming PCs. So they have a whole line of They have a whole line of customized PCs for gamers, high-profile, high-performance computers.
Okay, Scott, I got to comment on this. I'm going to steal a name, and it looks like Easy Bake for Gamers.
Easy Bake for Gamers. Oh, Bill, you've got it. That's what we should produce. We should make a gaming PC that you can bake cupcakes in while you're playing.
Cookies.
There you go. Cookies. You can bake cookies. You don't even have to go get them out of the oven. You just pull the drawer
special
open.
Brownies.
And yeah. These are some of their gaming PC lines that they've got. Anyway, I couldn't resist sharing that with you guys.
Okay. Quick announcement.
Okay.
We know spring.
It's good.
Spring
we're at our announcement section. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes.
Sorry.
We know spring is here because the geese are back.
Yeah. The geese are back in Canada?
Yep, the Canada geese are back in Canada. They're back in our yard.
No, they haven't reached Anchorage yet. I've been watching for them because we've had other birds come through that seem different. So I'm not a bird watcher, so I can't tell you what they are. But I do know Canada geese.
Well, The thing that's special about the Canada geese around here is they start getting into mating fights. There's usually one single male around, and they land on our roof, and then they argue up there about who's the best.
That's really great.
And they do take an occasional crap, but we have to wait for the rain.
Yeah.
Hey, I got one fast topic, if you guys are interested. Just a quick one. Okay. I don't know if we talked about it before or not, but the Zack Snyder release of the Justice League of America movie, there's been a lot of controversy over putting out his version of the Justice League of America movie on the new HBO Max system. And because he's been tasked to do this, it may turn into a mini series. Anyway, apparently what happened recently was people using the streaming service clicked on Tom and Jerry and were introduced to an hour of the new Justice League of America movie just by accident, by something in their system screwing up. They were able to see a movie 10 days earlier than it was supposed to be released. I just thought you might find that interesting. I'll put a link to it in the meeting. But this is how fast that they're putting out these streaming services. HBO Max just started less than a year ago. It's really geared up during COVID. And this whole idea of releasing movies, I think that it's the one that Warner Brothers is using, right? It's the same. It's AT&T. It's all the same company now. And they made that deal to release all their movies online at the same time they're getting released in the movie theaters. During that time period, there's been this outcry for the Snyder release. All these Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman fans, DC Extended Universe fans are excited for the Zack Snyder vision that the Justice League movie could have been if he hadn't had his own personal affairs and had to leave the movie. And Josh Whedon had to take over and make the movie. And he made a silly movie like The Avengers when it was supposed to be a dark, deep movie introducing an entire extended universe of characters. And so they've been wanting this Zack Snyder release because of the internet, because of Twitter, because of the way that we communicate now and the streaming platforms. HBO said, okay. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll take the movie we've already released, give it back to Zack Snyder, and let him do his vision, and we'll release it as part of our new streaming service. And so it's supposed to be leading on the HBO Max streaming service. Well, they did something wrong, and they accidentally released it under the Tom and Jerry thumbnail, and people were treated to an hour of it. I just thought it was the kind of shenanigans that the San Carlos Computer Club could appreciate. I don't really have anything else for today.
Speaking of San Carlos, we see our friend Jorge, who we've bought all kinds of coats and things off of, has opened a new restaurant, La Catrina.
Oh, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, it's down on Beltrones, kind of before you get to town. But anyways, you should check it out. And Jorge is doing that. And it looks like Semana Santa is going to be full-on activities in San Carlos.
Yeah, man, that's what we're hearing, is there's going to be no effort to try and stop people from coming. We all think it's too soon to do that. There's no, like, if you guys aren't aware, but many folks over 65 are still waiting for a first vaccination appointment. They started taking appointments in February, but I'm not aware of many people getting appointments. And so we're behind. And then the official timetable is that February for folks over 65, May for folks that are my age, 50 or older, or I'm not, no, I'm sorry. April for folks my age or older, May for folks that are 40 and older. And then after that, it's going to be opened up, supposedly for kids, young adults. But the official timeline is everyone vaccinated by March of 2022.
Oh.
So we're already behind. We're already behind on the official timeline. And the official timeline doesn't see everyone in Mexico vaccinated until March of 2022.
So yesterday, today, U.S. came out with a warning about travel to Mexico because of the high incidence of COVID. They're advising people not to travel to Mexico.
That doesn't make sense for our previous history, I don't think, because I think at least in our local area, we've done a really good job of keeping it down. But I think it makes sense as we go with this whole vaccination situation. That may be very true, Irving. They may not want to come to Mexico if we're not going to be fully vaccinated until March of 2022.
Well, that was just a travel advisory by the government.
Yeah.
It was all of Mexico?
I think so.
Here in BC, they're just doing 90-year-olds so far.
Oh, really?
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
We've only had, I think, 27 deaths on our island, which is a million people.
Well, actually, Bill is eligible on next Tuesday to phone in and make an appointment for his age, because we just about finished all the 75 and aboves in Alberta. And so he's next up. And then I probably, with my health conditions, I'm going to be probably April. And at first it looked like we were going to be like June. And then we're supposed to wait 4 months before we have our second shot, is the timeline now. So we should be done by August or September.
4 months? That sounds like a long time.
That's what they kind of are stretching because of our supply problem. That's how it is right now. They might shorten that up if they get it. But they're saying the efficiency, whatever, efficacy of the first shot is really quite good. And they're finding out that it keeps you at a high level for months. I don't know how many, but, you know, a timeline. And then they'll give you the booster or the second shot later on.
You saw the new CDC guidelines that came out this week. They're saying that people that are vaccinated can, we were talking about that earlier, I guess, you can hug your grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that's encouraging. Spring break isn't. Spring break, Semana Santa is not encouraging, but hugging grandchildren is.
Yeah.
I'm so thrilled for the United States that they're getting organized with, because you have the vaccines, get them out in the arms right now. You know, it's good to do. But we're having trouble with supplies because we don't manufacture any, you see. So we have to wait until the country of manufacture is willing to share.
Sure.
Yeah.
Guys, I got to call this meeting to an end, or you're welcome to stay and talk amongst yourselves, but I have run out of time.
Well,
do you like my background, Scott? Do you like my background?
I do. Yeah. What are you doing in my man cave?
Take care, everybody.
I just found it on a field of backgrounds.
Good job.
You guys have a great week. And remember, if you need computer help, I'm out here. I'm willing to help you. Send me an email, scott@internationalcs.net. I can get into your computers remotely and give you a hand with them if it's necessary, or we can just talk on the phone. Insurance. Somebody's travel insurance is calling us.
Oh, it was Bill. Anyway.
It's Bill. All right. Well, you guys.
Au revoir.
Adios.
Yeah, bye, guys.
We'll see you guys next week. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. Saying goodbye to James, the last one here with me. Last one to get disconnected. And until next week, you guys have a great week and tech on.